isn't it great that we're able to actually get this recorded immediately and not have to wait to figure out what happened to our code? So it's great to be with you on a Tuesday night celebration of life. I am sitting here with my scrolls and the book, The Observer's Chair on the Healing and Self-Esteem. And we may have a chance to reference some of this material before the night is over. It is so good to be with everyone and talk about these principles. Tonight's a special night because tonight is self-esteem. It's an opportunity for us to take all that we've learned and see how it applies to healing our self-esteem. Our objective, let's get clear on the objective. Everybody could write this down. Our objective is to be real, genuine, and authentic. Now, real means to be able to have relationships with others, to connect with people. Genuine is genus, our genius, to own our genius, to take the cover off, the shame, the sham, the pillow sham, the shame that covers our genius, not so that we can be egotistical or a braggart, is so that it is fully available to serve another person. And to be authentic is anthos hectic. It means to be our true self. So authentic means to be our true self. Now, that's an interesting word, because to understand it, we want to take a little deeper. It means to act on my own moral authority, doing the next right thing for the right reason, because I want to, get to, and choose to. Now, as we go through the different qualities of an intentional creator, we may find that we're naturally resistant to structure. We might rebel. We might resist. We might be frustrated that our expectations are not being fulfilled, and we might get frustrated with life. That's not our true self. Those are unhealthy habits of thinking. To be authentic is to be our true self. I hunger for success. I thirst for happiness and peace of mind. Lest I act, I will perish in a life of failure, misery, and sleepless nights. It's to be at peace, to have peace of mind. That equanimity that Og talks about when we take action. Now I know that action turns that fear into that lion of terror to an ant of equanimity, to peace of mind. So part of being authentic is taking action, doing the next right thing for the right reason, because we want to, get to, and choose to. So just look at those words, real and genuine and authentic. That's where we want to eventually be. Now, everything that we've done so far and everything we'll do starting next week, we go back to the first quality, connection with people, is all about healing our self-esteem. It's so that we can learn to be more real. I want to spend just a little bit of time on this one tonight. In real, we're going to talk about connection next week. This is about embracing our natural gifts in the area of connection. We talked a couple weeks ago about introversion, extroversion. Everybody remember that conversation? That we sometimes think that introversion means we're broken. And we see extroverted people who seem to be so comfortable and can chat with anybody and have conversations. That's not necessarily being real. That just happens to be extroverted tendencies in connection. An introvert can connect as deeply and perhaps even more deeply because they are great observers. That's their strength. They observe. They listen. They can step into someone's world and take down those walls of resistance because they don't need to be talking. So it's not becoming extroverted. It's about embracing our strengths so that we can connect. An extrovert can just so comfortable talking to anybody. An introvert isn't necessarily uncomfortable. It's just not what they do. They're observers. That's their strength. So we play to our strength. That's being real. It's not being something we're not. It's creating relationships using our strengths. We talk about being genuine, this idea of our genius, There has been a misunderstanding, I believe, in society that we're supposed to act demure and humble, and when someone says thank you, it's like we're supposed to say, well, you know, I could have done better. We're not supposed to make too much out of anything. That's just not true. The opposite of that is to make everything about ourselves. That's not true. We're to be okay. Did a great job. Thank you. Thank you. It's to bring those gifts and own those gifts, to stop procrastinating and own them. Jump in and take on life, to engage, and then bring those gifts to the service of another human being. We'll want to own these gifts. Now, when we see someone acting egotistical, we know that it's most likely an overcompensation for a dialogue they've got going on in their head. And then you see a very peaceful person. Great job. Thank you. Or they bring their skill to the table and they help serve. It's not a big deal. They don't make a big deal about it. They just serve. They do so well because of their gifts and talents. That's this genuine peace, if you can feel it. An authentic, this true self. I said a moment ago about rebellion and resistance and resentment and anger and frustration and disappointment from unmet expectations. That's not who we are. Every one of us on this phone could take a big, deep breath. Just be for a moment. We're going to do an exercise here in a few minutes on this topic. Stillness exercise. I just want you to just be, so you can feel this person. And if we can get into this space more frequently, we can actually serve more effectively. In the book, The Observer's Chair, I did a stillness exercise. And I'm going to do it with you tonight because I just want everybody to have the experience. There's also available, when you buy the book, there's a link in the back of the book that actually takes you to a recording of the stillness exercise. So you can listen to it over and over again. It starts with this. We are not our thoughts. We're the observer of these thoughts. As we practice the process of quieting our mind so we can step back, listen, and observe, it becomes easier and easier to distinguish between the real you and your thoughts. Some of these thoughts do not want us to step back. They want us to believe this is who we are. Nothing is further from the truth. I want to do this little exercise with you. So if everybody, if you're not driving, if you're driving, if you could pull over the side of the road someplace safe, that would be wonderful. Otherwise, I just want you to just close your eyes for a moment. This is not an attempt to hypnotize you. It's just an attempt to quiet your mind, have you be fully present, and just hear some of these thought processes for what they are. So I want you to sit in the observer's chair. This is when you're real and genuine and authentic. You're confident and whole and complete. It's when you're productive and committed, self-directed. Settle into this chair. It's a wonderful place to live. Close your eyes and relax your head and your neck. Just settle back in this chair. From here, look over at that chair over there and notice your unhealthy habits of thinking. Can you see them? These old habits were born somewhere along life's journey. Perhaps one came from a parent, another from a childhood experience, another from a lost love, another from a companion. There's a story behind each one of them, isn't there? Notice how several of them are masquerading as ghoulish monsters. Some are growling and others are clawing the air, all trying to act tough and intimidating. Can you see them? Smile at each of them and wave. In truth, they are fragile and have depended on you for their support. and support them, we have. Let all of your unhealthy habits of thinking go. You're no longer deceived by the clothes they wear. Let go of the one that questions your worth or worthiness, the ugliest one. Let go of the one that wants you to compare yourself with others, the most ungrateful one. Let go of doubt and fear, the meanest ones. Let go of the one called ease and comfort, the deadliest ones. They make you feel euphoric for a little while and then clobber you with a club of reality. Lots of bruises from those crazy thoughts. It's criminal. Look, they're still trying to sell you on that easy button. Let go of the one called busy, 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 the most exhausting one. It's the one over there running around like a chicken with its head cut off. That one has nearly worn you ragged. Let go of the one that wants you to impress others or wants you to pretend things are better than they are. Let go of the one that wants you to feel shame about a weakness or imperfection. The one that wants you to act strong and smart or perfect. Just let those all go. Usually, this is the time when one of your thoughts gets very active and frankly a bit nervous. From one, you may hear advice about how dumb or silly this activity may seem. Another thought may try to convince you that this is nonsense and you can't live without them. Another may advise you to act frustrated or tired or disinterested or preoccupied. Another may argue that there's something inherently wrong with letting your mind be quiet so you can experience you. The most insecure thoughts may advise you that you're giving up control of your life when in fact you're finally taking control of your thoughts. Acknowledge your thoughts. Thank them for their input, and then let them go. Remember, you are not your thoughts. You are the observer. You're sitting in the observer's chair. You're finally free to be the real you, the observer of your thoughts. Welcome home. Now take a few slow, deep breaths. Notice the air filling your lungs and then being expelled. Notice the stillness and the peace in your mind. Take a few more slow, deep breaths. Let it all in. Let in the inspired whispers. The visions of possibility come from a higher source. Let them ignite your passion. Drive your actions. Can you hear it? Can you see it in your mind's eye? This is the conversation you'll want to engage in. Feel the peace that comes from here in this higher conversation and the confusion, frustration, and fear that exists over there in that other chair. Your thoughts are still trying to get your attention. No, they're very uncomfortable with the idea that you can carry on a conversation with another source while excluding them. Just relax. You're sitting safely in the observer's chair. How often have you allowed your thoughts to control you? Do they want you to come home to their little den of destruction? If they're talking, notice what they're saying. Don't judge them. Just notice them and let them go. And exhale. Take a few more slow, deep breaths and continue to relax and observe. Quiet your unhealthy thoughts when they jump back into action. Notice them and let them go. There is nothing to do, nothing to try, nothing to get right. Just be at peace and observe. here. The observer's chair. The need to impress others seems shallow. The need to pretend, immature. The need to feel shame, wasteful. The need to fear, childish. Here you know who you are. Here you sit in your gifts, connected with the real source of inspiration. Notice your body, your fingers, your toes, your eyes, your nose. Don't make any judgments. Just continue to relax and observe. Each time you find this place, you know that you are not dependent on any mortal or any material thing to be whole and complete. From here, you can simply be you, real and genuine and authentic, with no need to impress, pretend, feel shame or fear. Just relax in this place for a few moments. If your thoughts show up, acknowledge them, let them go. Just relax. Let go. Enjoy the quiet. When you're ready, open your eyes. These are some questions from the book. Were you able to quiet your mind? Were you able to? And believe, be fully present in the moment? Was this a comfortable and familiar place? Could you hear the noise coming from your unhealthy habits of thinking over there in that chair? And this question, in what ways would your life be different if you showed up here more frequently, fully present, fully engaged, listening more intently to the whispers while solidly gripping the armrests of the observer's chair? In what ways would your life be different? Now just be with us for a moment. If there's anyone that would like to share from their experience, I'd like to give you just a moment to do so. Is there anybody that would like to share tonight? We know that self-esteem gets damaged four very specific ways. Now, we've been through this with some of you. This will be your first time for some that are on the phone. I want to go through these four, and I want you to write on a piece of paper when I get done explaining one. If that's true, just write a one. If you're done explaining two, then write a two, three, four. So let's see which numbers show up for you as contributors to any challenges you might have in self-esteem. The first cause is unmet expectation. Now take a look at your assessment. In the bottom right-hand side of mental creation, are there any measurements that are orange or red? Particularly goal-oriented and honorable. What kinds of expectations are being created in your mind? If it's orange or red, they're very, very vivid, which means they're going to create a new reality in the mind. Now we show up in reality. Now we're in tangible world. I'm touching my desk and touching the ink pad on my desk and the book and a magic marker. This is tangible reality. How is this stacking up to the thoughts we have in our mind? Do we ever go, by now I thought I'd be further ahead. By now I thought it'd be easier. Do we ever have those kinds of feelings? And if so, do we ever then turn inward and say, what's wrong with me? I can almost touch it. I can almost taste it. Why can't I have it? What did I do wrong? We start questioning our worthiness. We start questioning our ability. We start questioning our belief systems. Whole and complete, confident and valiant. Those first three measurements in self-esteem. We start getting defensive when people don't agree with us. Peaceful. We start sacrificing time, energy, and even our well-being to somehow prove we're okay. That's deliberate. And unconditional, if we've made some mistakes and this is starting to turn orange, there's a good chance we're having a hard time forgiving ourselves. Unmet expectations. Either we didn't live up to what we expected, or life didn't show up equal to. And there must be something wrong with us. That's the number one cause of self-esteem challenges. So just write down us. Do you ever create those expectations and feel discouragement when life doesn't show up that way, and then turn inward and say, what's wrong with me? What did I do wrong? Why can't I get this? Just write a one down so you have that one. Number two, we talked about this at length last week when we talked about owning our clay. It's called the comparison game. We live our life resisting and resenting the clay we've been given, wanting to be someone else, somewhere else, doing something different. That's a problem. We're not taking our clay and creating the most we can with it. We're beating ourselves up because we don't stack up to somebody else's clay. That's the second most common cause of self-esteem. So that's a number two. So if you play that comparison game, you wish you had their hair or their body or their money or their peace of mind or whatever it might be, just write a number two. So we got a one out of two so far. Number three, traumatic events. Traumatic events are things that are out of our control, that can be very deeply, intrinsically painful, such as child abuse or emotional abuse in a relationship or physical abuse, sexual abuse. These are traumatic events. Someone who may have gone through a divorce or working with a company for 30 years and got terminated and doesn't know what to do with their life and can't get a new job, that can be very traumatic. Anything that disrupts a relationship at death. That's very traumatic. When my sweet aunt's going through that tonight. Her husband had his leg amputated on Saturday because of diabetes. By Sunday, they were very hopeful that he was going to recover. And she left the hospital of him going sound asleep and very peaceful, having eaten dinner. And he died during the night. That's pretty traumatic. So traumatic events, those kinds of things that just derail us and leave us kind of reeling, wondering who we are, those are traumatic events. So if you've experienced one of those, just write number three. Number four is a really tender one. It's called secrets. This is anything that's happening in our life, and these are significant things. These aren't, I yelled at my child yesterday, and I don't want anybody to know that I did. I mean, we're all human. We're going to have moments of weakness. This is a secret that's substantial, like an alcohol addiction or a drug addiction or an eating disorder, something that we would be terribly embarrassed if people really knew. Truth is, they generally do anyway. But these are secrets, and when we have these secrets, we don't know who we are, whether we're the person we present to the public or this person we view as despicable, you know, hiding in their closet, doing whatever. This secret self, that's the fourth. And I've given them to you in order of frequency. So number one, unmet expectations, that's one. Two, the comparison game. Number three, traumatic events. Number four, secrets. So just take a look. Say one, two, three, four. Because one, when we get to mental creation, we want to focus with tremendous intention on using our mind constructively. The more constructive we use our mind, mental rehearsal, inspiration, exploration, planning, goal setting, the more inspired ideas we get, the more we act on them, the more we're passion-driven, the more this will automatically take care of itself. The comparison game, When we step into people's worlds, the very first principle we're going to learn next week, connection with people. We step into people's worlds and we find out what's really going on. Their walls come down. Their cooperation floods out. It's the trouble pile that I think I read a couple weeks ago to all of you, the trouble pile where we wouldn't want their troubles. Wow, they have a lot of money, but look what they're dealing with. Or they have a beautiful figure, but look what they're dealing with. We'll take ours. Almost all of us will take our own challenges when we understand what's really going on in a person's life. See, when we want somebody else's clay, all we're seeing is the good part. And quite often, they're looking at us, wanting our clay, the very thing we don't want. Interesting thing in the comparison game. So let's learn how to intrinsically validate and overcome that one. The traumatic events. This one can take, number three, can take some therapeutic intervention at times. You'll know when you're ready because the Chicago Dream, we'll talk about a little bit in the next couple of weeks, where we take our challenges, those things that have happened to us or mistakes we've made, or things that have happened to us, been done to us, harmed us, we take them out of our sack and we hold them in our hands and we say, is there anyone else suffering from a similar wound? Yes, then engrave it on your heart. And we discover that our character has been forged in the furnace of adversity. We know what pain feels like. Can't take it back, but we can use our experiences to better serve another person who may be going through something similar. And if we choose to use our experience that way, so dragging it behind us, being a victim of these circumstances, we use it to bless other people, there can finally be purpose in that suffering. It doesn't justify it having happened, but it's happened. And because it has and we can't take it back, we can choose to use it differently. There can finally be purpose in the suffering. Joy in our journey moving forward, because as we connect and serve and walls come down, cooperation floods out, it fills that void in our soul. And lastly, much needed healing in our souls. That's when you'll know that you're ready to take that which you've been dragging around, it's just been crushing you. And you're ready to use it differently. You're tired of what it's been doing to you. You now want to use it to bless the life of another person. That's when you know you're ready to move forward. So don't rush that one. You just know when you're ready. You may need to have a therapist help you process so you can even look at it. I know when I looked at my childhood issues, I was over 50 years old. I didn't want to look at it. But almost 50 years since it happened. Didn't want to look. Took a lot of processing to get there, to get to that point where I was willing to look at it. So don't beat yourself up if that pain is there. Just get the help you need so that you can get to the point that you're ready to hold it in your hand and engrave it on your heart and use that experience to serve another person. That's number three. Number four, secrets. Secrets almost always require professional intervention. I hear stories occasionally of people just cold turkey stop drinking or using drugs. That's really hard with an eating disorder. If any of those issues are yours, anorexic, bulimic, any of those kinds of issues, I would just encourage you to get some assistance. And if you know anybody who's there, encourage them to get some assistance. Because it's a real confusing piece, not knowing who you are. And when you finally start to get assistance, you'll discover you're not the despicable person in the closet, nor are you the facade you're presenting to the public. You're the observer. You're the one that can step back and see these two conflicting presentations. And you'll want your life publicly, privately, and secretly to be congruent. So it's the same everywhere you go. There's no duplicity, no double-mindedness. That's when you start to become whole. Instead of fractured, you become whole and complete. So those are our four major causes. Those are some of the things we're going to be doing over the course of the next few weeks. Everything we do, from connection with people to using our mind constructively to being fully present in the now. Being present in the now is one of the most powerful things we can do to heal self-esteem. Because when we're fully present, mind and body in the same place, we are being with ourselves. This is our true self. And the more time we spend with our true self, the more whole and complete and confident we become, because you're magnificent. The only reason why we don't show up that way is out of fear. And so we procrastinate. The only time we get to meet this person is when we finally jump in and do something. And then we're surprised. Wow, that wasn't so hard. We're surprised. We don't want to be surprised anymore. We want to spend our day with this magnificent human being called you in the observer's chair. Well, that's the journey we're about to undertake. That's the journey we're about to undertake. Now, if you have a copy of the Observer's Chair, I would encourage you to play with this. If you don't, it's only $20, I think. You can get a Kindle version for half that online. There's a whole section here on affirmations, and it talks about creating new habits. I'm going to share this concept with you as our final principle tonight. It's called, That's Not Me. That's not like me. This is me. That's not like me. This is me. It's starting to hear the dialogue around whole and complete, where we're going, what's wrong with me? I can almost touch it, almost taste it. Why can't I have it? Does God not love me? What's the use? I'm so stupid. I know better. Why did that happen to me? I should have stopped it. I never get the answers I need. I never make the money I need. Who do I think I am anyway? That dialogue. Anytime you hear that kind of dialogue, consciously, if you have to do it out loud, do it. That is not like me. Now, these thought processes might say, oh, yeah, that's like you. And then you can say here from the observer's chair, yeah, that's true. When I choose to go over and sit in the other chair, that's what I say to myself. And I act based on that. But that's not who I am. This is who I am. I'm whole and complete. I enjoy being me. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I recognize and embrace my irreplaceable value. I'm fully available to serve others. That affirmation is available on your intentional creation tool set. Go to your assessment, click on creation tools, click on quality number 6, self-esteem. First option is assessment, which is your latest assessment results with a lot more detail. And right below that's affirmations. That affirmation is in there. You can read it, or you can listen to me narrate it set to music. It's a beautiful affirmation. That is me. You might want to take those affirmations and just listen to them. You can download them. They're MP3 file. You can download them to your smartphone. Carry them around with you. Every once in a while during the course of the day, listen to these 6 affirmations. I'm confident. I own my clay. I embrace my uniqueness and natural genius and act free of hesitation, doubt, and fear. That's me. Start questioning our beliefs. That's not like me. Affirmation, I am valiant. I am true to my own beliefs and values. They are engraved on my heart, shape my character, and guide my actions. That's me. When we get into right-wrong battles, or we feel like someone doesn't care for us because they don't agree with us, that's not like me. Affirmation, I'm peaceful. I'm comfortable with my own ideas and opinions and allow others to have opposing ideas and opinions without the need to openly defend mine. If they don't agree with me, that's fine. It doesn't make me any less. That's me. We get into have to, should, and must and feel like we got to serve everybody till we're dead tired and have no room left. And we're exhausted and we still haven't proven our worth. That's not me. I'm deliberate. I set appropriate boundaries regarding how I allocate my time and talents. I agree to do things for the right reason. That's me. And lastly, when you start hearing things like, I'm such a failure, there's no use in even trying. It's too late. I hear that a lot. It's too late. I can never make up for that. I have violated the laws of heaven and earth. There's no forgiveness for me. am unconditional. I recognize my strengths and weaknesses. I stay present in the now and resist the temptation to waste valuable time mourning yesterday's misfortunes, yesterday's defeats, yesterday's aches of the heart. That's me. That's me. Your assignment this week is to listen to scroll number 4. I'm nature's greatest miracle. I'm on this earth for a purpose, and that purpose is to grow into a mountain, not to shrink to a grain of sand. Henceforth, I will apply all of my efforts to become the tallest mountain of all, and I'll strain my potential until it cries for mercy. I'm going to take the clay I've been given, and I'm going to create the most I can with my clay. I'm not going to waste time in fantasy and catastrophe. That scroll will serve you. And when you hear dialogue this week that is negative at all, to say, that's not like me. It's not like me. And have these affirmations handy. Get them on your smartphone. Put them on a CD. Play them on your computer, wherever you want to use them. Just listen to those affirmations. And every time you hear an affirmation, say, that's me. That's me. Feel yourself in the observer's chair. And again, should something from that chair over there say, oh, that's not true, yesterday you did this, you can say, yes, that's true, yesterday I did do that, because I got out of this chair, and I went and sat in that other chair over there, and sure enough, that's what I thought, and I acted on it. Not today. This is me. I'm sitting in the observer's chair, being my real, genuine, and authentic self. Okay. Well, the journey begins tonight. Start hearing this dialogue so that you can start consciously making these shifts. And before we wrap up tonight, I just want to open this up. Is there any questions or comments that I can attempt to serve? Okay, we're going to have you come off of mute and just say good night. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I do hope this has served you. So just come off of mute and say good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Good night, everybody. Thanks.
Good night, Dave.